As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Coast to coast in Canada, across North America, and around the globe on the World Wide Web. This is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru. And Raceline is driven by the 2017 Subaru WRX and WRX STI. Nothing sounds like it or drives like it. Learn more at Subaru.ca. And by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe. Subaru, confidence in motion. Subaru Canada presentation of your National Radio Motorsport Authority, the Raceline Radio Network. Eric Thomas, host and anchor. Lisa Pileski, Supreme Commander and Raceline Master Control. Tom Raminski, placed in charge of the network for us this week. Coming up, putting a lid on the 2016 IndyCar season, examining a number of issues with IndyCar specialist, our good buddy Stephanie Wallcraft from RacingNorth.ca. So much ground to cover. Going to split it into two parts of our both guest segments. We will reschedule Parker Thompson. You often see drivers in North American Series, especially the NASCAR guys, bring their kids along to drivers' meetings and introductions and things. It's cute, but for guys like Kevin Harvick, having your youngins about is a happy distraction. He tells us why. If it gets even more of your entries in the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest, your chance at the grand prize pack in that race wrap. NASCAR Chase Race 3 at Dover to Truex Jr. The bottom four get bounced. Daniel Ricciardo with a shock win in Malaysia when Lewis's Merck blows up and he ain't happy. And Montreal's Canadian GP is under threat again. So for race fans across Canada and more than several U.S. border states, powerful sport, powerful radio for 24 years, this is the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Simon Pagenaud, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Master, what makes a man great?
Close your eyes and tell me what you hear.
I think I hear the rumbling of power, Master.
Oh.
Is that the thunder of destiny calling me to dig deep within to find my own strength?
No, my son, that's just Master Han and his 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Hey, anyone need anything from the store? A gum?
The 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Butter?
Nothing sounds like it. Nothing drives like it. Subaru, confidence in motion.
Did you hear about Frank? Arrested for drunk driving? I never would have thought he would make that mistake. He's got a great job and is a terrific dad.
Not all drunk drivers are the same, you know. They can be male or female, all different ages, come from all walks of life.
There are many types of drunk drivers. Some drink and drive rarely, while others do it all the time. That's why we have a variety of strategies to deal with them.
You know, a good friend of mine was charged, and she almost never drinks.
Speak your mind. ChangeTheConversation.ca.
It's rush hour, and you just want to get home for dinner. You're starving because the last thing you ate was a chocolate bar at your desk.
Then it hits.
You open the glove box, and there it is, a bag of deliciously tender Jack Links beef jerky. You pop in a piece, slide the bag of Jack Links onto the passenger seat, and you and Jack Links ride off into the sunset.
Or at least you would if you weren't stuck in traffic.
When cravings kick in, why not choose a snack that you can feel good about? And that's low in calories, fat, and carbs. Jack Links has guilt-free snacking in the bag.
Feed your wild side.
The official beef jerky of the Toronto Blue Jays.
This is the ultimate must-have for motorcycle enthusiasts. Tissot is proud to present the T-Race MotoGP Limited Edition 2016 watch. This watch has the precision of the timekeeper, with chronograph functions resembling a bike dashboard and features such as the brake disc bezel and tire tread on the back of the bracelet. Available at your authorized Tissot dealer. For more information, visit TissotWatches.com. That's T-I-S-S-O-T Watches.com. Tissot, Swiss watches since 1853.
Eric Thomas, Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru, with a Raceline race wrap. NASCAR Sprint Cup, third race of the chase for the championship, the Monster Mile Dover, Delaware, on the concrete. Another dominating performance from that little team that can, Martin Truex Jr. and the Furniture Row Toyota Bunch, handled by Canadian crew chief Cole Pearn, as you know. Second win in the chase for Truex Jr. Kyle Busch finishing second at Dover. Chase Elliott was third. Bottom four eliminated now from contention. That list, Tony Stewart, Kyle Larson, Jamie McMurray, and Chris Buescher. So, into the round of 12, starting at Charlotte. Truex Jr., as we said, Harvick, Kyle Busch, Kenseth, Logano, Elliott, Keselowski, Kurt Busch, Hamlin, Edwards, Johnson, and Dillon. And a few listeners asked me recently about several Cup drivers who seem to like to have their kids with them for things like, driver introductions, post-race celebrations with their wives, even at pre-race driver meetings. New Hampshire Lobster winner Kevin Harvick likes having a cute-as-a-button son, Keelan, who's four, with him at driver's meetings and such. It's a welcomed distraction.
It's better for me to not think about racing, honestly, just because we think about it. I mean, we talk about it all week, and we have meetings, and we have things that go on about racing all week. So anytime I can get away from it is better for me. So it kind of adds a diversion, and he likes it. He likes to be in the driver's meeting, and he thinks it's cool because there's no other kids really in there. He likes clapping for everybody, right?
Yeah, right. I really like drivers having their families, though. Seriously, with them at the tracks is the proper promotion of the family, just folks aspect you don't get in any other sport. Think about it. NASCAR Xfinity Series at Dover rained ahead one day. That was good for Daniel Suarez. He wins it. Trucks at Vegas. Tyler Reddick wins to shake up their chase. Cameron Haley of Calgary, 18th. Niagara Lake Stewart Friesen, 19th in his first journey at Vegas. Formula One, Malaysian Grand Prix. Well, nobody saw this coming. When Nico Rosberg spun early after contact with out of control Sebastian Vettel in his Ferrari, it appeared Lewis Hamilton had this in the bag, but with a huge lead, his Mercedes engine woofs its cookies with 15 laps to go, handing the victory to Red Bull's Daniel Ricciardo, who held back teammate Max Verstappen for his first win of the season. Hamilton's nightmare went totally black when Rosberg was able to fight back to arrive on the podium third. Lewis, upset, says somebody on the team doesn't want him to win a fourth title. That's why he gets bad engines. Ah, sure. More on this later in the show. So F1 points into Japan, just 5 GPs to go for the year. Rosberg's driver lead over Hamilton swells to 23. Well, here comes more Bernie fallout, huh? Canadian Grand Prix Montreal for TSN 690 in doubt again. Delays and promised track improvements as an asterisk beside the June 11, 2017 date on the just-released provisional F1 schedule. Promoters, the Octane Group, say they're not worried. It's not the first time the Canadian GP has been under threat, of course. No, former promoter Normand Legault pulled out in 08. 09 went dark, but it returned a year later. Doubt over the 2017 GP arose last summer when Ecclestone questioned whether or not upgrades to the pit, the paddock, grandstands, and the medical center at Circuit Villeneuve would be completed. A deal signed in 14 to keep the race in Montreal through 2024, in which three levels of government pledged $170 million, included a promise to make those improvements. Well, Mayor Denis Coderre, who was up to his neck in an unrelated and very unpopular citywide pit bull ban, said the race will go ahead even if the work isn't done on time. GPs in Germany and Brazil are also provisional. Bernie wants more money. Bernie needs to get stuffed. IndyCar, the first silly season domino toppling. Former Raceline Radio guest Joseph Newgarden won't be back with Ed Carpenter next year, meaning more than likely he'll replace Juan Montoya at Penske. Newgarden scored 3 wins for ECR and finished a career-best 4th in points this year. Meanwhile, Canada's James Hinchcliffe, another excellent show on Dancing with the Stars, his Cha-Cha-Cha with partner Sharna Burgess, good enough to keep him safe for now. Hinch is doing very well, though. Really, he is. Coming up in our later on in the show, our 2-part interview with Stephanie Walcraft from RacingNorth.ca with more on IndyCar. IMSA sports cars, lots to get through. Season closer, Petit Le Mans at Road Atlanta. Mike Shank Racing led a Ligier Honda 1-2 for the first, the final run that should be for the Daytona prototypes, but a fourth for the Action Express Corvette gave Dane Cameron and Eric Curran the prototype championship with assistance from newly crowned IndyCar champion Simon Pagino. Risi Competizione, I knew I'd do that, with GTLM, but Corvette Racing's Ollie Gavin and Tommy Milner crowned class champions, finishing third. And in GTD, Christina Nielsen of Denmark became the first female driver to win a pro sports car championship in North America with teammates Balzan and Siegel in their Ferrari 488. NHRA Drag Racing, Keystone Nationals, Reading, PA, round 3. The shootout there roars on. Antron Brown won Top Fuel. Tommy Johnson Jr. in Funny Car. Vince Noble in Pro Stock. Our rally news, a presentation of the Subaru WRX and WRX STI, creating those monster sales. Time this week, Canadian Rally Championship presented by Subaru. Round 5 Pacific Forest Rally in Merritt, B.C. Subaru's Antoine Lestage and Darren Garrett flawless in their WRX STI for their second win of the season. They're now second in the championship by just 1 point with 2 rallies to go. World Rally Championship Rally France. Volkswagen's Sebastian Ogier led all the way. Another step towards a fourth actual WRC crown for the Frenchman. Faces in the pits. The Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA season finale dominated by Canucks, and that's always good. Montreal's Jesse Lazare won Road Atlanta, wrapping up the Platinum Cup. Recent Raceline Radio guest Danny Morad, the Canadian Series champ from Toronto, finished third at Atlanta in his Porsche Center Oakville Allegra Motorsports entry to secure the inaugural IMSA North American Cup. Way to go, guys. Canadian Motorsport Hall of Famer Scott Maxwell and Yank driver-mate Billy Johnson ran the table at Atlanta, their sixth win in their Ford Shelby GT350 from the pole for the sixth time. The Shelby grabbing the title in its first full year of competition thanks to a dominant season by Multimatic Motorsports in the Sports Car Challenge this year. Multimatic is Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame bound this year themselves. Lance Stroll of Montreal wrapped up the Formula 3 championship this year at Imola. Lance needed only to finish in the top three to sock it away, but the win made it all the sweeter. Stroll in line to replace Felipe Massa, they think, at F1 as soon as next year. Toronto's Robert Wickens admits he tossed away his title chance with a stupid mistake, as he called it, that put him in the back of the GTM German touring car grid in Hungary because he lined up in the wrong slot at the end of the formation lap. What? Wickens went in 55 points behind leader Marco Wittmann, needed to reduce the gap below 50 to remain in contention. It just didn't happen this time. 17 drivers from across North America will compete for spots in NASCAR's Drive for Diversity during a national tryout at Florida's New Smyrna Speedway later this month. On the list, recent Raceline Radio guest Amber Balkin of Winnipeg in TSN 1290 coverage. And former guest and NASCAR Canada vet DJ Kennington tweets to us he'll do the Cup race at Phoenix next month for Premium Motorsports. DJ has run Xfinity and Trux. This will be his first Cup go. Way to go. And that's it for this week on the Raceline Race Wrap. Your questions, opinions, comments are always invited. Share ideas, thoughts, and opinions with your fellow gearheads across Canada and the network because your comments could win you the grand prize in the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. We get to your emails, entries, and comments in a couple of minutes. All right, Lisa, let's drop a pit stop right about here. Coming up, part one of our interview with RacingNorth.ca Stephanie Wallcraft in our official recap of the 2016 IndyCar campaign. This is Raceline presented by Subaru. See your local Subaru dealer for a performance drive today along the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Cameron Haley, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
This is the Raceline Radio Network. Eric Thomas in your ears. Check out our Raceline Radio Network Facebook page when you have a chance. You can also follow us on Twitter, if you dare, at ET Raceline. Interviewed 2016 Verizon IndyCar Series champion Simon Pagenaud last week on this here program. So this week we run our official season recap and forecast. Lots of ground to cover, certainly. So we split our conversation into two parts. So away we go with part one from RacingNorth.ca, our good friend Stephanie Wallcraft on Raceline Radio. Stephanie, wrapping up the 2016 Verizon IndyCar season, safe to say that over this past campaign we saw some outstanding racing at the usual variety of venues. Watkins Glen replacing Boston turned out to be a good old-fashioned speed fest, some of the oval stuff. I mean, that three-way charge across the line with Kanaan, Hinchcliffe, and Graham Rahal at Texas was thrilling stuff. The show in this series continues to be very good, and I think you would agree with that.
Absolutely. I would find it hard to disagree with somebody who claimed it was the best racing on the planet right now, to be honest with you.
Sure.
How many Formula One races do we sit down to already knowing who the winner is going to be when the when the lights go out, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think that IndyCar's got a good balance right now in its tech regulations and its competition rules, and that, of course, is changing, and we can go into another discussion. But at the moment, the balance is just right, that it's producing some very competitive, very exciting racing, which is really nice to see. I wish that more people were seeing it, but that's also another discussion.
Yeah, I mean, what do we do to promote it? I mean, you know, you and I are on, I'm on the air chirping about it. You're on the air with me chirping about it in RacingNorth.ca, and anytime people will listen, what do you think the breakthrough is for the series to get more eyeballs to watch it from the grandstands, from TV screens, and in radio as well, just to get the awareness up there? What do you think they need to do?
Gosh, I think if I had the answer, the whole family would already be paying me an awful lot of money.
That's true, yeah.
But I don't think anybody really knows why it's not catching on. I think it's just partly to do with difficulty finding it. I think I'm not fully clear on this, but my understanding is to get Sportsnet 360, you have to have a pretty expensive cable package that not a lot of people have. And it's a similar situation in the U.S.
Yeah.
And so ratings are just not great. And racing as a whole is just competing for people's attention with so much these days.
True.
It's all the stick and ball sports, and I would even argue that Facebook is more of a distraction to people, keeping them from watching live sports than people really are estimating. So how do you overcome that? I don't really know. It's how to appeal to a younger generation that maybe as a whole doesn't have all that much interest in cars beyond when can I buy one that drives for me. sort of shifting that focus to focusing on the thrill of the competition and the exciting finishes and giving it to them in small bites on social media as opposed to expecting them to sit down for a full 2-hour broadcast is maybe a step in the right direction. I don't fully know the answer.
It's as good a solution as any, and it circles back to our initial comment that if the show was crummy, you'd feel funny trying to promote that, but when people start to notice that, hey, this racing is pretty good compared to some of the other stuff I can watch on TV, then maybe it'll get pointed in the right direction. Stephanie Wallcraft from RacingNorth.ca, a very good friend, is with us on Raceline Radio, recapping and capping off the 2016 IndyCar season. Well, Pagenaud wins the title, leads points most of the summer, Stephanie. His full talent finally realized, considering he went to Penske with a half-season agreement, hoping that it would become a full-time situation, you know?
Absolutely. He couldn't be happier for Simon.
Indeed.
This is his life's dream come true. I remember sitting down with him at a press event maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Wasn't with the captain yet. Was kind of the super sub. He was the guy that called to fill in for anybody.
Suitcase Simon,
and
yeah.
Then sort of fell off the radar then until somebody else got hurt. And he had just made the switch from sports cars, where, of course, he was very successful as well back in the ALMS days.
Right,
coming into IndyCar, and I remember asking him, was IndyCar always what you wanted to do? Was it the goal for you? And he said, yes, absolutely. That he grew up watching, as we all did, right, the kart days and the absolutely legendary racing from the early 1990s and wanted to be a part of it and just never gave up. And so to see him finally achieve this that he's been dreaming of his whole life. It's the stuff that dreams are made of.
Yeah.
Stuff that you want to show your kids that look, if you stick to it and you work hard, look at what you can achieve.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, we cannot also understate how close Willpower came to spoiling that for him.
That's true.
Missing the first race of the season.
That's right. Yeah.
And it probably wouldn't have been a contest if he had been at St. Pete. So that's an enormous but highly underappreciated achievement for Power as well.
And there it is, part one of our IndyCar season wrap-up with RacingNorth.ca's Stephanie Wallcraft on Raceline Radio. After the Subaru email bag trivia contest, part two, how about that? Where we talk to Steph about old James Hinchcliffe, the Andretti struggle, the Toronto Indy, and young up-and-coming Canadian talent that may be pointed to IndyCar in the not-too-distant future. All right, Lisa, another pit stop before we dive into the Subaru Raceline email bag trivia contest and your chance to win the grand prize pack. This is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network.
Yeah, this is Nigel Mansell, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Raceline Radio Network is Canada's national radio motorsport authority, don't you know? And not just us, a lot of people consider it that way. And that makes us happy. I'm Eric Thomas. Check out my Thomas Tales blog on the Canadian Motor Speedway website, my Thomas Tales columns in Inside Track Motorsport News Magazine. There's one on the way there and on the web on the Raceline page at sportsnet.ca. So away we go again with our Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. Your chance to win the grand prize pack. Getting closer to that thing, you know. We ask you Subaru trivia questions. You have to include the answer to those cues in your email of commentary to qualify to go into that break drum thingy for the official draw to win the prize pack. The winning entry is drawn at random, simply, at the end of the on-track racing season, once Cup is all done with their chase in November, and the winner claims the prize pack loaded up with all kinds of good stuff from Subaru. I am off to see Julie and the folks at Subaru this coming week to pick up the remaining goodies for the prize pack, and it's going to be a good one. The BRZ Sports Coupe was the official Raceline Radio Network special events cruise of the summer. One more week for this question, then we'll come up with another one. The four-cylinder Subaru boxer engine that powers the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe. You need to give me the peak horsepower of that motor, and at what RPM is that reading taken or achieved or whatever you want. I'll ask it again. The Subaru boxer engine, the four-cylinder job that powers a Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe. Give me the peak horsepower of that engine and at what RPM is that registered, okay? Use Eric at racelineradio.ca. Eric at racelineradio.ca. Raceline Radio, one word. To get your email in, you spell Eric with a capital E, small K. You don't ever put a space between Raceline and Radio. Well, you can. It won't get here. It'll bounce like a rubber ball. So don't do that. Let's go to the mailbag and see what we have. Well, no entries this week. Well, we do have a few. But I wanted to get your take on this because it's every once in a while this rears its head in racing. And we all know about conspiracy theories about 9/11 and the moonshot and all that kind of stuff. But is there such a thing as a conspiracy in racing? Lewis Hamilton, frustrated lad, says somebody doesn't want him to win this year's championship. And he wants answers from Mercedes after his engine blew up with the Malaysian Grand Prix while he was leading with 15 laps to go, handing the championship rival Nico Rosberg a huge advantage with only 5 GPs left on the calendar. Rosberg finished third after being spun in the opening lap by Sebastian Vettel in the Ferrari, but the German now leads by 23 points. Hamilton says he finds it hard to accept. He's the only Mercedes-powered driver to have engine problems. My question is to Mercedes, he says. We've lost so many motors. He told the BBC after the race, there are 8 drivers and mine are the only ones who fail. Someone has got to give me an answer, and it's not acceptable. Something or someone doesn't want me to win this year, he added. It's a brand new engine, for crying out loud. I've done one race with it. I did practice 3 with it, qualifying. It's a brand new motor from the 3 that I had. It's just odd. There's been like 43 engines from Merck, and only mine have gone sour. Hamilton not won a race since the German Grand Prix, it's true, and has gone from leading the championship by 19 points to chasing Rosberg, as we said, by 23. The world champion insists he still believes a title is possible, but admitted that there are doubts. It is what it is. We'll move forward and try and do this thing. Right now, I don't know if my car is going to make it, though. These next 5 races, I know we've got it in us, but who knows what those engines are going to do and what I'm going to have to do. So I'm just going to keep my head down and hope for the best. The tail rolls on. There's not much to do. He says, I've just got to move on. The guys did a great job, but the equipment failed. I can't believe there's 8 Mercedes cars and only my engines are the ones that are going south. Well, following Hamilton's comments, and I mean, come on. I mean, really, he's an angry, frustrated guy. You understand something. We keep telling you this. Mercedes is going to win the Constructors' Championship this year, which is more important than the Drivers' Championship. They would not sabotage one driver's engines because they want to score maximum Constructors' points. They want their drivers to finish as high in the order as they possibly can to get that Constructors' title, which they, again, will win this year. It just so happens that it's a roll of bad luck that when, and it's not just been motors, they've had ignition problems, fueling problems, gearbox problems. Nico Rosberg has had that, but he hasn't had any wholesale engine failures like Lewis Hamilton has suffered. Following the comment, Mercedes technical boss Patty Lowe moved quickly to dispel any kind of an idea that the engine failure was planned. It's difficult. It can be a harsh sport, but no failure is planned. Of course not. Work as hard as we can to increase reliability. We have year in, year out increased our reliability, but for some reason unrelated to anything intentional or individual performance, a number of things have fallen on Lewis's car this year. We have 8 Mercedes power units this year, and for some reason there is no pattern as to why it always happens to Lewis. This is how things do rotate once in a while. Merck team chairman, non-voting, Niki Lauda, calls the accusations of an anti-Hamilton conspiracy at Mercedes ridiculous and stupid. What do you think? I mean, really, is there anything to this conspiracy thing? I think it's all poppycock and hogwash. Eric at racelineradio.ca. They're not going to sabotage anybody's car. They're not going to do that. But you can understand. You can understand Niki Lauda says, you know what, I'm going to get Lewis in the plane. We're going to fly to Japan. I'm going to tell him it's not over yet. And nobody is trying to sabotage his racing effort. They don't want him to grab another championship. It's just not happening that way, and it's totally illogical to even think that. But what do you think? Eric at racelineradio.ca. The trivia question you need to answer if you want to qualify to win the prize, the four-cylinder Subaru Boxer engine that powers the BRZ Sports Coupe, giving the peak horsepower. At what RPM is that reading taken? Use Eric at racelineradio.ca to connect with your mail. Eric spelled with a capital E, small K. Pit stop time again, Lisa. Then part two of the IndyCar season wrap-up with Racing North's Stephanie Wallcraft. This is Raceline presented by Subaru. Test drive a BRZ Sports Coupe today. For the ultimate in performance handling, this is the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Brad Keselowski, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Canada's National Radio Motorsport Authority, Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru. Good to have you with us. Let's continue now with our official 2016 IndyCar season review and forecast. Part two from RacingNorth.ca and Stephanie Wallcraft on Raceline Radio. Stephanie, I want to talk about the Andretti struggle and not a good year for those guys. Marco ineffective, basically. Ryan Hunter-Reay frustrated, even though his sponsor is in it for the long haul, which is good news. One guy might not a team make, but I look at the departure of longtime team manager over there, Kyle Moyer, to Penske. After 23 years, Andretti loses the glue that held everybody together there. How do you see that situation?
It's an interesting one, and I don't think that story is finished yet, because just at the end of the season, you started to get a glimmer that maybe a light bulb had gone on and they were starting to figure things out. A couple of the Andretti cars actually were pretty fast at Sonoma.
That's true.
Where people were looking around sort of. It's created an awkward situation for Honda, hasn't it?
Because
Andretti was supposed to be their sort of banner team after Ganassi defected to Chevrolet a couple of years ago. So to have seen them struggling has created a pretty awkward situation for Honda, and the fact that they are, well, it's, and I feel bad for them too, because they did everything so, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. They were so grassroots almost with the way that they approached it, right?
True enough, yep.
They didn't do any of the work in Japan. They did it all in California. It's Honda Performance Development is based in California.
California,
and
the
Honda corporate basically handed it over to that team and said, here, you guys do this, but you better win.
Yeah.
Right? So they did it at this really great sort of grassroots level. It was a huge expectation. Meanwhile, Chevrolet outsourced their engine build to Ilmor in the UK, which has decades of performance building experience.
True enough, yeah.
And just the different approaches, you almost start cheering for Honda as the backmarker, the little guy, because you just want them to figure it out and be successful, right? So it's to have also had the struggles with Andretti not really being able to keep up with the big teams was a disappointing situation. And I do hope that the recent comeback is a sign that there are bigger things on the horizon.
Yeah.
You definitely want to see that level of competition.
And let's see what happens, too, because those rumors that Ganassi may go into the Honda fold and maybe help them out a little bit. See what happens there. Let's talk about everybody's favorite Canadian, James Hinchcliffe, Stephanie. Finishes outside the top 10 in points. You know he's not happy with the season at Schmidt-Peterson because of that. But the simple fact that a year after he almost killed himself at Indianapolis, Hinch comes back to score the pole for the Indy 500 this year, finishes third in that race. The high watermark for the season, his third in Toronto, was pretty good as well. So all in all, despite the fact that the numbers aren't that great, I think a very successful season and a benchmark season for Hinch.
Absolutely. Anybody who had grand expectations that he was going to come back swinging and win the championship, I think, was being pretty unrealistic.
I think so, too.
After the better part of a season out of the car, of course he's not going to hop right in. I mean, he's also driving for a smaller team, a very good team, mind you, but a smaller team. And he's got that Honda power plant that hasn't always been able to compete with the Chevrolets. He had a few check marks against him this year, not the least of which being that he had a suspension part in his butt like a year and a half ago.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, I think that it's best to look at this year for James as a comeback year, a reestablishing year, a regaining his confidence year, and next year seeing what he can do with it is where we really see what the potential is going forward.
The Toronto event, closest to where you and I are, lots of changes to the track, a very bumpy and worn-out street course. You saw the attendance. We've had a chance to sit back and examine it that way. A new group in charge of administration. What's the long-term status of Canada's only IndyCar race in your estimation, Stephanie?
Somebody's got to figure out where to find the money to resurface that track.
Thank you.
Because from the segment about the exit, about the apex of Turn 2 is where it joins Lakeshore Boulevard.
Yep.
And from there over to about the entrance of Turn 3, they repaved all that not that long ago. That was with
city money.
Yep. But that's because it's a major city street. And so using city money to resurface it made a lot of sense because we all benefited from that.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you go up from Turn 3 all the way through 4, 5, 6, 7, and around to 8, that's all sort of inside Exhibition Place roads, and they're getting really rough. I did a track walk around myself a couple days before the event this year, and I couldn't believe how rough the surface is in spots, how much it's lifting. I think that Joseph Newgarden kept it very quiet, that the surface issues contributed to his crash in Turn 5
mm-hmm.
in the race there.
Yep.
And I think that if there are not already talks underway trying to figure out who's going to pay to get that surface redone,
yep.
that there's going to be a big, big problem in about, if not next year, then 2 or 3 years from now.
Well, hopefully they can get it fixed and put a street course together that is worthy of the sixth largest city in North America that isn't
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You and I are the biggest fans of this course, right?
No kidding.
We don't want to see it go away because we've been around it forever.
That's it.
So
they got to do something, though.
You just hope that somebody can make the case for finding the money to get it done.
Yeah, exactly. Stephanie Wallcraft, RacingNorth.ca. We're wrapping up the 2016 IndyCar season and a few little bits besides. Some of the developing drivers in the road to Indy system, Stephanie. Let's look at a pair of Canadian drivers. Montreal's Zach Clayman DeMello finished ninth in lights points. Stouffville's Dalton Kellett will stay for further development at Andretti's. These guys are looking good, hopefully, you know, for future IndyCar rides, but those rides continue to be very few and far between.
Zach Clayman DeMello and Dalton Kellett are very interesting. They're an interesting case study, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Dalton has done everything very slowly, very meticulously. He continued his racing program while he was finishing school, so he's a little older than other competitors at his level because he worked his way up meticulously through the road to Indy and is taking another year in Indy Lights, taking his time. And Zach Clayman DeMello raced in Europe, landed over here, did one practice session, I think, in USF 2000, and went, yeah, okay, let's jump in Indy Lights. And had some, right. you know, some strong results, but I think any expectation that he was going to go in and go gangbusters was maybe a little optimistic.
Yeah.
So just watching the two of them and where they've ended up and how they've gotten to where they are, it's been really interesting. Which Canadian will be the next in IndyCar? It's a great question. I think maybe there's a name you haven't mentioned that might end up being the one who has
Give us that.
And that would be Garrett Grist.
Yeah, I was going to mention Garrett. He finished a little down in the points, but we've been following him very closely. I like his pluck. He's got a lot of talent. You know, he's a good little guy.
The other thing about Garrett is that he jumped into Indy Lights halfway through the season.
That's
right?
True. Yeah,
there was that whole situation where he ended up taking the seat that had been Scott Hargrove's and Scott Hargrove, another very, very promising Canadian,
absolutely
had a really rough time trying to get the support that he needs to continue his open wheel career, which is a shame. But Garrett is in a position where he's got the money and the talent, and if he, from what I understand, he's looking for a different ride in Indy Lights next year.
Okay.
That would give him a greater possibility of getting some better results.
Well, we hope that
where that goes as well.
I hope that it catches for him too, because there's a whole lot of Canadian talent out there just waiting to be developed, looking for big rides. Tell us more about RacingNorth.ca. It is our go-to site on the web for Canadian racing news. Steph, what's happening over there?
Well, thank you very much. Racing North had a great season. We've been able to be on the ground for a lot of Canadian events, providing coverage of things like Formula 1600 racing, NASCAR Pinty Series racing here in Canada at a level that not very many other publications have been able to achieve. We've
You're
got
right.
some staff that's come on board Emily Hurst has done a great job. She's a young upstart of a reporter, which I can respect because I was that myself not all that long ago. And she's done a great job offering some coverage of this grassroots stuff as well. And we continue to grow and build and hope that we can be the go-to source, as you said, for Canadian racing news for Canadians.
Well, Stephanie, I want to thank you for all the time with us this past IndyCar season and beyond on Raceline Radio. Great knowledge and insight as always. It's just extra good when you get that kind of on-air talent from a very good friend. Thank you again, Steph, and enjoy the off-season.
And likewise. Thank you, Eric. Always a pleasure.
Well, always a pleasure to have Stephanie Wallcraft from RacingNorth.ca on with us, the IndyCar specialist that she is. Her knowledge is amazing, and certainly check out her site, RacingNorth.ca, for all the news on Canadian racing, because it just there's everything that's there. I mean, anytime I want to get information or find out about somebody or records, whatever, I go to Stephanie's site automatically. We didn't even talk about possible driver movements for 2017. We did mention one of them in the news. Joseph Newgarden is not going to be back with Ed Carpenter, more than likely to replace Juan Montoya at Penske next year. So where does Montoya go? Where does Tony Kanaan go? There's been talk about TK heading over to maybe finish his career with AJ Foyt. We don't know. The possibility of a new team, Carlin Racing, may come in with an IndyCar entry for next year. Lots of stuff to keep our eyes on in the offseason. But there we are, our two-part IndyCar season wrap-up with our very good friend, IndyCar specialist Stephanie Wallcraft from RacingNorth.ca. All right, Lisa, one final stop to crack off, and we'll come on back and set up next week's show and more on The Last Lap. Raceline, presented by Subaru, powered by the heart-pounding turbo Charge WRX STI on the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is Tony Stewart, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free.
Thomas Raceline across Canada on the Raceline Radio Network. White flag is up there. Final lap for the week. So here's what I'm going to try and do for you next week. Matt Garwood will talk up another F1200 Formula V title and what his plans may be going forward. Going to get back with Dirt Modified Canadian star Stuart Friesen for a preview of Super Dirt Week, the new Super Dirt Week. Move to Oswego with clay laid down on top of the asphalt. How's that going to work? Plus more of your entries and emails for the Subaru Raceline email bag trivia contest. But when checkers fly, we say goodbye. Enormous Raceline thank yous to Stephanie Wallcraft times two and Kevin Harvick. Thanks to Supreme Commander Lisa Pileski. Great job as usual. Tom Ruminski as well at the network end for ops and pre and post-production, and to our Subaru Raceline mailbag trivia contest players and qualifiers. So from all of us at Raceline Radio, I'm Eric Thomas. So long, everyone. Raceline Coast to Coast and the Raceline Radio Network presented by Subaru has been driven by the 2017 Subaru WRX and WRX STI. Nothing sounds like it or drives like it. Learn more at Subaru.ca. And by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe. Subaru, confidence in motion. Talk to y'all again next week right here on Raceline Radio.